south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know this show is all about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, all in regards to Latin America. Today, let's talk about some good and some bad. I'd like to mention something that comes into focus once in a while. People talk about free trade zones. Now, in every Latin American country, they have assembly plants and maquilas and factories where workers make or assemble things, and they ship them off to other countries to be sold. Down here, that's especially true of the clothing, shoes, and textile industries. And thus, they have free trade zones or free trade zona francas. That's what they call them here. And to get into these little isolated communities or colonies, as they call them down here, you have to go past a guard, check in with your ID and paperwork, a lot of security, you know. Because you see, the goods are not supposed to be sold within the country they're manufactured or assembled in unless taxes for that country are assessed and paid. Meanwhile, the other items that get shipped out of country go out tax-free. So you've got trains and trailer trucks and containers going in and out of those factories all the time, but when they're shipped out, they go directly to another country. Now, that's how it's set up. That's the theory. That's how it's supposed to be, but it's actually a lie because a lot of that stuff ends up slipping into the local marketplace, which is why you can pick up real brand names like Tommy Hilfiger and Guess and stuff in crappy little corner dives and tiendas. Meanwhile, just a few kilometers away, they've got the real bona fide retail stores at the regular first world price. Anyway, one of the things that gringos and expats don't realize is that in the country of Panama, there's a special little free trade town called Colón. I mentioned it in a recent past show. It's named after Columbus. And that word, Colón, coincidentally or not so coincidentally, also spells out in English the word colon, the normally unspoken part of the large intestine, therefore presenting us with a very easy memory aid we're not likely to forget. Which makes you wonder if old Christopher Columbus got his ass kicked a lot by the English-speaking kids at school. And for that matter, how about Colin Powell? Should have been his parents who got their asses kicked for naming him that. You gotta wonder, what were they thinking? Anyway, there's a town right on the Panama Canal called Colón. I mentioned this in a past show. And for my money, it's one of the best free trade zones in the world because you and I, the general public, can go there and buy things tax-free and import duty-free, too. In fact, I've been there quite a few times myself, and I can tell you, you can get just about anything and everything there at generally 25% or more off the lowest price you could squeeze out of a desperate retailer on Black Friday. Now, of course, you must remember that Latins love to dicker. So when you're there and you see a price and you think, hey, sure, it's cheaper than Walmart, but not that much, just hit them with your best shot. They expect that, although many gringos won't dicker or they don't know enough Spanish to dicker. And they're just so very pleased to see the prices are 10 or 20% lower than they're used to, which is why so many fresh green gringos are happy to pay the sticker price. Just remember that generally the sticker price is not the final price. As expat Eddie says, it's just a nice starting point and a way to sucker in gringos who don't know any better. By the way, last time I was in Colón, Panama, I noticed that probably 80% of all the retailers in the free trade zone were Asian, which shouldn't be surprising. The Chinese pretty much own all the shipping and port storage around the Panama Canal now. So anyway, if you're ever in Panama, do make a point of going to the Colón free trade zone. And man, is it big. In fact, the zone consists of 16 streets of nothing but wall-to-wall stores. It, too, is gated and guarded. You have to go through one main entrance, check in, show them your U.S. passport and such. So then why do they bother doing that? The trick is, you see, they don't let Panama citizens buy stuff there because of all the other retail businesses in the country outside that zone would go under. You could see it, right? No one would shop locally anymore. They just head for the free trade zone in Colón every time they wanted to buy something. Now, the rest of the retail shops outside that zone have to pay local taxes. That would be IVA, or value-added tax, which is 7% in Panama. Not to mention, built in to every item outside the free trade zone is the import tax, too. Anyway, like I said, Panama has a 7% VAT tax, or IVA, and that's pretty low as Latin countries go. Now, just for comparison's sake, Chile has a VAT of, get this, 17%. Again, one big reason why Chile is one of the more expensive Latin American countries to live in. Now remember, everything you buy, including hotel space, restaurant, dinners, and such, has the VAT, or as it's called, IVA here, built right into the price. All right, that was Chile, or as the locals say, Chile. Now, Costa Rica has a 13% IVA. Same with Salvador, 13%. Dominican Republic, 18%. Guatemala, 12%. Honduras, 15%. Nicaragua, 15%. Paraguay, 10%. Venezuela, 12%. Argentina, a ridiculous 21% IVA. Another reason the average gringo expat shouldn't really be thinking of Argentina as a low-cost expat haven, even though people like Doug Casey will tell you fruits and vegetables and local products are very cheap, and they are. Many manufactured products are imported and heavily taxed, so you will get nailed and your cost of living will be much, much higher than most other Latin countries. However, it's a great place if you have a lot of dough. Do you? So Argentina is pricey, but now for the topper. Brazil. Get this. A country ever into complicating things beyond the absurd, especially when it comes to government. Brazil has an IVA or VAT sliding scale, depending on what products you're buying, from 0% to an unbelievable 365%. Hey, I know it sounds crazy. Just look it up. You'll see for yourself. Now, of course, you probably heard that you can get that VAT tax refunded at the airport or when you leave another country. You just have to show your receipts and such. And it's true, and I know people who've done that without too much problem either. But that's always been in places like Japan, Australia, Europe, Israel, places that are first world. Just try doing it in the third world once. If you do, as expat Eddie says, you have to add another day onto your trip. So is it worth it to even try? Probably not. Unless you're talking about some real substantial numbers. Then still, there just might be a hang-up, and you'll have to spend another day in the country. Which is why most people don't even bother. When they're in the third world, they just fly out and forget about those tax receipts. Better yet, if you're in Panama, you just go to the Colon tax-free zone, where there's no VAT or import tax duties figured into the price of the product at all. Oh, and by the way, when you're in Latin America or any foreign country for that matter, when you buy a product there that's been imported, let's say from China, well, most things are, you're not just paying the country's VAT tax added into the price. Remember, the products, when they landed in the country, were assessed an import duty tax, so that's added into the price. So when buying imported items down here, you're paying in the retail price the VAT, which varies from country to country, as mentioned, and you're paying the import duty, which is built into the price too, also varying from country to country. For example, in a previous show, I mentioned the case of Guatemala, where import duties range anywhere from 0% for things like vitamins and drugs, certain electronic items and such, to 15% of the value of the invoice. So if you take the Guatemala example, let's say you're buying a chainsaw that was produced in Sweden. Well, when it landed, it got hit with a 10% import duty, then the 12% VAT value-added tax, or IVA, is added. So the price of that item is automatically 22% more than the actual value of the thing. Of course, if you bought the same item in the States, you'd be assessed a state tax, and there's import duties too. So that's why prices vary so much from country to country. Bottom line, retarded, malignant governments have their hands out and pick your pocket many times over for every product that's produced. However, like I said, there's one place you don't get nailed for all that. That's the Colon Free Trade Zone. So then how can you get that stuff so cheap? Well, because all the products are coming directly from China through the Panama Canal. That's where you can buy electronics, televisions, computers, toys, perfume, shoes, watches, jewelry, leather goods, you name it. No value-added tax, that's IVA's down here, or import duties. Now, I know some of you have been to Asia and you see those big markets in Bangkok, etc. Those are pretty much tax-free for alls too, but as for me, and I guess most of you listeners out there, Asia is not my favorite place. And for those of you who are thinking of becoming expats in that part of the world, well, good luck to you. There are some places that are extremely inexpensive, but I have my own personal reservations. For one, it's very, very difficult to learn an Asian language. But when it comes to learning Spanish, I've known 70-something people in wheelchairs and walkers who've been able to learn the language. Second reason I'm not big on Asia, well, they've got huge Muslim populations in many of the countries. So call me skittish, call me prejudiced, call me anything you want. Most people have. Can I help it if I feel better when I'm far away from any substantial Muslim population? In fact, I've had people mention the Philippines to me as a good Asian expat destination. Long ago, it was conquered by Spain, so Spanish is their second language. Yep, you could get by with Spanish in the Philippines. However, they have one huge Muslim insurgent population there. A lot of terrorism and jihad stuff going on there that never gets reported on. Because the First World Press doesn't care about Third World news unless there's a very high body count. Another reason I'm not big on Asia is because they have many, many strategically important cities and ports that very well could end up being future war zones or pawns in that kind of a game. Not to mention some of those countries don't get along very well and many of them have nuclear arsenals. As for Latin America, nothing's really militarily strategic about the place except for the Panama Canal, which, like I said, the Chinese sort of run. And by the way, another reason I've crossed Panama off of my list of good places to become an expat. Oh, and not to mention all 20 Latin countries speak the same language, Spanish, so they've got a lot in common. That means they share the same music and heroes and food, etc. Not to mention the region's 98% Christian, they're a united front there too, and their differences, prejudices, and gripes against each other are minimal. Hey, that's not to say they haven't had a few wars and revolutions down here. Only no one's got missiles, no one's got nukes, and the armies are mostly composed of lazy, fat-assed, pus-brained slugs. Just how you want an army to be. Yes, they'd much rather dress up, spit-polish their shoes, march around in a few parades, get drunk, and watch soccer games than actually fight anyone. Oh, and by the way, did I tell you, for example, the entire Guatemalan army has exactly 15 tanks? But I digress, as usual. Where were we? Oh yeah, talking about import duties and taxes. So you might ask, why have all Latin American countries copied the VAT tax, which originated in Europe? Well, that's because it's a stealthy way to suck vast amounts of tax money from the populace. Because studies have shown, as a product gets made, manufactured, assembled, whatever, there can be 10 or more manufacturing steps along the way where VAT tax is assessed, and those taxes are cumulative. The 10 or 15% VAT tax you know about is just the last tax in the process. It could be that up to 50%, even more, of what you pay for any item anywhere has been sucked away by your insatiably gluttonous government. But the main reason all Latin countries have adopted the VAT tax is because Latin Americans, like Italians, see tax evasion as a national sport, even a right. Which is why down here, most people don't pay personal income taxes and businesses pay little, if any, corporate tax. Even though on paper, tax rates may seem high, there are 101 ways around them. By the way, Latin countries have no strong-arm IRS-type enforcers either. Ain't that a shame? That means you're sort of on your honor when you have to report your income and get taxed on it. That's why so many Latin businesses keep two sets of books. Which is why throughout Latin America, nearly all houses, buildings, and properties are registered at the local municipality at a tiny fraction of what they're worth. That's why beautiful houses here in Latin America that would easily go for $200,000 to $1 million in the States often pay no more than a couple hundred bucks a year in property taxes. Which is why when you buy a property down here, you can often make a deal with the lawyers involved to cut two checks to the seller. One, perhaps 10 to 20% of the real sales price, that being reported to the property registry when the title and ownership are transferred. Meanwhile, that second check for the remainder of the 80 or 90% of the real purchase price simply lands in the seller's in-country or offshore bank account, no questions asked. Yep, you gotta love Latin America, huh? By the way, all banks throughout Latin America, in fact, throughout the world, are cracking down on cash transactions within the bank. For example, in some Latin countries, you can't deposit more than $1,000 or $2,000 in cash at one time, even if it's your own account. That's right, they're now starting to have those Know Your Customer laws here too, and you'll have to explain in some detail where you got that money. However, we're talking about cash now. When it's checks or wire transfers, electronic so-called digital money, all is well and generally no questions asked. And you know, I find that a bit strange. Why? Because every one of the 20 Latin American countries has a huge cash-based society. Just check out any of the big markets or the thousands of little mom-and-pop stores and kiosks along any busy city or street. In fact, I bet if you're shopping anywhere in Latin America, you'll run across signs that say, cash only, no checks. I'll bet if a business in the States had a policy and a sign like that, they'd get shut down in a Nueva York segundo. In fact, it's been estimated that 30 to 40% of Latin American business is done in cash. So if you're worried about that so-called cashless society that seems to be progressing along rather quickly, well, that's going to happen up where you live. They're pushing for it right now, but it just would be impossible to implement down here in Latin America or in any so-called developing country. So look for it in a first world country near you, but forget about it down here. Though, as mentioned, dealing with banks worldwide is getting harder and tougher. That said, are you up for a story? Sure you are. Well, as said in the beginning of the show, we're about to illustrate some of the good and the bad in Latin America. Now, just the other day, I was having lunch with another new friend of mine who came down to one of my earlier Expat Insider seminars, and now he and his family are living down here for good. And after living more than a year well off the gringo tourist trail, he said, Johnny, you know, I've noticed Latin America is certainly a land of extremes. Then he said, I've met some of the nicest, best people I've ever met in my life, but I've also met some of the biggest jerks and dickheads. How is that possible? And I said, sounds like my old neighborhood back in Chicago. Now, he wasn't complaining, or maybe he was, which spurred me to tell a little story that happened to me not even a week ago. You longtime listeners know I often stop in at giant central markets where they've got everything and anything, fresh as can be. Tremendous selections of fruits and vegetables at fantastic prices. Plus, it's a cool experience and really a trip because you always run into things that are new and surprising that you haven't seen before, which makes the whole experience doubly interesting. Anyway, I mentioned in a recent past show that when you go down to one of these big markets, you can hire one of these little porter guys. For a buck, he'll walk through the whole place with you, carrying everything you buy. And when you're finished, bringing it back to your car in the parking lot, and even, if you want, do some price negotiation for you if your Spanish really sucks. Nope, these little guys don't speak English, but they know how to haggle, and are good at reading your hand signals and the look on your face when you pass something you want to buy. Anyway, after about 10 or 15 minutes shopping in the thick of one of the big Latin markets, I saw from a distance a kind of a cute young Latin girl running towards me. I thought she was going to run right past, but she stopped, right in front of me. She gave me a kind of an evil look and started poking me in the arm. I'm wondering, what the hell's going on? Then she looked right over to the little guy that was carrying all my stuff, and she said something nasty to him that I didn't quite hear. I thought, uh-oh, something bad must have gone down between these two. Obviously, he was not her favorite person. It seems serious because Latins are generally pretty non-confrontational. They'll do anything to avoid an argument or a scene, except behind closed doors where Latin tempers can really flare without the neighbor seeing. Anyway, she started in on this guy and his face turned pale. She was so pissed off I thought she was going to smack him. Now remember, these marketplaces have hundreds of people and they're quite loud, so I wasn't catching any of what she'd said to him. Then she pointed at his pants pocket, looked at me and said plenty loud so I could hear it, "Did you know back there when you walked by, $6 fell out of your pocket. He grabbed it and stuffed it in his." That was when I figured out what this was all about. She was trying to protect me, the gringo. Suddenly, a small crowd gathered. Everyone loves a fight, especially when it's a woman laying into a guy. Not to mention, it was of double interest to everyone because I was the only gringo in sight. Then she turned to the little guy and demanded, "Pull it out. Pull it out of your pocket. I saw you put it in there." And the guy stuck his hand in and sheepishly pulled out $6. Uttering those famous last words anyone would in that situation, he said, "I was going to give it back to him later." Remember, all this is going down in Spanish now. So there I was, caught kind of speechless, which was a first for me. Then I gathered my wits, thanked the girl. She stuck her finger once again in the guy's face and said, "This kind of stuff does not happen here," or something to that effect. The guy looked at me, tail between his legs, and I said, kind of sharply, "All right, come on, let's go." But not before I put my finger in his face and said, "Don't think I don't know what you're up to." Anyway, since he had all my bags and half of them were filled already, we went through the market and finished off. I gave him the agreed-on price, which was around $1, and gave him a look signifying I'd never hire him again. By the way, when I'm in a big market like that, I like to hire the guy that looks like he's in most need of the cash. And they're all usually very nice, so I tip them too. Now, I said he because it's not a mixed gender job, not yet. But someday, who knows? By the way, when you're at one of those huge markets, you'd think you'd run into a few beggars or street people. I mean, seems like everyone shopping there, working there, or delivering stuff there, whatever, they're at the very bottom socioeconomic rung of the ladder here in Latin America. For one thing, it's all a 100% cash business. No checks accepted, no receipts either. And in that kind of organized chaos, there are no ATMs. However, speaking of beggars and street people, you know, when you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail, you rarely see them. And when you do, somehow they're always stationed at very busy street corners where a stoplight or a stop sign or very slow traffic will make you slow up. By the way, that's where very dark tinted windows come in handy. You know, you can tint them as dark as you want down here. Anyway, funny enough, you always see the same street performers and the same beggars at the same corners. How they work out the pecking order, who knows? Now, the good thing is, at those corners, there are often many more people actually selling little bits of stuff than holding out their hands and begging. Then, of course, you've got the so-called street acrobats and artists. Jugglers, sword swallowers, mimes, fire breathers. Yep, you got it all. And you know, it's those fire breathers that really amaze me. Man, they work hard for the money. They've got the singed hair, the dark skin, the burns, and the chemical stink to prove it. So they all got their own shtick. Most of them are actually selling something or doing something, which is cool. Then, you know, I don't mind giving them some money. And the worst, of course, is someone who just comes up and begs. And worse than that is someone who comes up and begs who has a baby in her arms or a kid or two in tow. A person perfectly capable of doing something. I mean, selling pencil erasers or gummy bears or cleaning a windshield. Just don't stick your hand out and ask for money because you were stupid enough to have a kid without a cent to your name or a roof over your head. Now that always drives me nuts and I never give them anything. And sometimes, you know, you're at a very long red light and the time is ticking off and they're standing at your window because they recognize somehow that you're a gringo. Maybe your windows aren't tinted dark enough or whatever. We are rare commodities off the tourist trail, but when a street person sees one of us, they know we're pretty soft touches. Now, I have to admit that sometimes I get fed up when one of them is tapping on my window. I'll roll it down and say, I'd give you some money right now if you just made the effort to sell something to me. Anything. Chiclets, gummy bears, erasers, pencils. I wouldn't even take it. I'll give you the money just for the effort. But I'll never give money to anyone who just stands there with their hand out doing nothing and looking sad. Unless it's someone with a real bona fide physical handicap. Now, this might sound insensitive and cruel, but I won't give money to anyone who's out there begging and exhibiting their symptoms. For example, if a person's got a withered arm or a withered leg, they'll cut away that pant leg or shirt sleeve, walk to your car, shove it up to the window, play the sympathy act, and start begging. No, not attempting to wash your windshield or sell anything, just strictly playing off that disability. By the way, a lot of disability frauds out there, too. Meanwhile, you notice people with much worse handicaps actually doing things and working jobs. In fact, as one juggler with a clown act who has his particular corner once told me, he said, once you've found a good lucrative spot on a busy corner and can hold that spot down, you can make a lot more money than minimum wage in a factory. Plus, he says, get this, you're your own boss. Like that. Hey, nothing against the guys on those corners who actually do something, like that clown. He had a pretty cool act. But that's not why I'm bringing this up. I'm mentioning it because I saw one of the most unusual beggar acts I've ever seen, and this guy was cleaning up. Listen to this. Maybe a half a year ago now, I pulled up at a busy intersection, and a guy walked up to me. He obviously had something wrong with one of his eyes. Now, this guy had a laminated card of some kind hanging from his neck. He grabbed that card and stuck it up against my window. Can you guess what it was? It was a new one on me. It was a laminated pharmaceutical prescription from a doctor, along with a typed-out description of the guy's medical problem. Well, I thought, poor guy, this is a new and creative twist, though. Then he flipped it around, stuck it up to the window again, and on the back side, there was a laminated receipt from a pharmacy saying exactly how much his medicine cost. It was around $25. Right then and there, I was thinking, boy, has this guy got a plan. He shows you his prescription, he shows you what it costs, shows you his ailment and symptoms all typed up. And I'll tell you, your first thought is to give the poor guy some dough. Now, of course, there's no way to know if that was a real prescription, if it was his prescription. Though, man, you have to give the guy an A for effort. With that little gimmick, the guy was really cleaning up. As he went from car to car, and each one of them dug deep and contributed. Meanwhile, all the other window washers, street performers, and beggars could see they had some big-time competition on their hands. Now, I'd never seen that guy at that street corner before, but you could certainly see in that neighborhood he'd raised the bar for that kind of work. Now, I'd say I first saw that particular guy around 6 months ago, and lo and behold, just last week, in a Latin town probably 150 miles away from where I first saw that guy, there was a man on a street corner pulling the same trick. A different guy, of course, which is the reason why I'm bringing up this story at all. So you could call it capitalism, competition, survival of the fittest, whatever. Yes, it seems all that and more exists with all human endeavors in any socioeconomic bracket. Someone finds a niche, gets creative, and sooner or later, he's got competition. But that's not all. I mentioned it to expat Eddie, and he said, "Oh, I saw a guy do that in Europe 7 or 8 years ago. In Berlin," he said, "on the Kurfürstendamm, where all the street performers and clever beggars are hanging out." Then we both laughed and blurted out at the very same moment, "The lag time effect." Yep, that little clever variation on begging took 7 years to make it down here to Latin America. And you know, I shouldn't have been surprised. Let that be a lesson to you. So there you have it, more proof that the lag time effect is alive and well. Note too, that it's part of your gringo advantage. By the way, would it surprise you to know that beggars, street urchins, and shoeshine boys all have cell phones? Okay, we're getting towards the end of the show now, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention I've got a couple of spots left for my January 2017 Expat Insider Seminar. So if you want to get in on what some past attendees are calling the most eye-opening trip of their lives, go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link for full details. And while you're there, don't forget to check out those great John Galt pre- and post-seminar trips, too. When you come down to the seminar, it's a way to make the most of your boots-on-the-ground experience. Oh, and by the way, I'd like to mention once again, if you arrange to have a phone or a Skype consult with me, and yes, I do charge a fee when I help you with your own personal plan B. Anyway, if you come down to the seminar, I'll refund that money in cash. And finally, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. Closing in on 100 shows up there now. Just put the Expat Files in the search box and you're there. And don't forget to subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.